In the name of Jesus, amen. Yesterday, I left chapel deeply nourished and satisfied with the riches of the Word of God. Maybe you had that same experience, or maybe you've experienced that on different days. It was a great sermon that dug into the meat of a text and challenged me to see God at work in ways that I usually miss. Beautiful music. And of course, I was fed with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. And honestly, ever since the pandemic hit, I've been hungry for that more than ever. It was wonderful. I needed it, all of it. And then I went to a faculty meeting. Now, please don't misunderstand. There is nothing wrong with faculty meetings, usually. And I don't want to suggest that yesterday's was in any way bad or painful. We had necessary work to do, and we did it. Some of the agenda was, as usual, routine and perfunctory, and a couple of items generated thoughtful discussion and will have to be considered further. In other words, normal. I don't hate faculty meetings, and yesterday's was fine. But I have to admit, in my heart of hearts, I don't love faculty meetings either. They don't satisfy the deepest needs of my soul. So it was honestly a bit of a letdown for me to walk from chapel into that meeting. It felt like stepping from the sublime to the ridiculous. It struck me how often moments of heightened significance and deep meaning are juxtaposed with the common, everyday nuts and bolts grind of life. One minute you're listening to Bach, and the next minute a commercial trots out some annoying ad jingle that turns into an earworm and you can't unhear it. Or you come across something in your study or your reading or your devotions that penetrates your mind and your heart like a beam of light, a profound idea beautifully and elegantly expressed. And when you get home, the sink's plugged up. And there's laundry to fold and the car's making a funny noise. One day you have Professor Schmidt preaching, and the next day you don't. Yesterday I walked out of chapel extraordinarily nourished and strengthened and forgiven and went to an ordinary meeting. We move so quickly from the intensely important to the annoyingly commonplace, from the magnificent to the mundane, from the transcendent to the trivial, from the sublime to the ridiculous. Today's text from Matthew 17 is like that. In the first couple of verses, as you heard, Jesus tells his disciples what is about to happen to him. He is trying to get them ready for the mind-boggling climax and culmination of his entire ministry and mission, his suffering and death and resurrection. And in the next breath, Peter is calling an emergency budget meeting because of some two-bit paltry tax which they maybe should or shouldn't pay. One moment, Jesus is pulling back the curtain on the terrible, beautiful profundity of God's salvation of the world. And the next minute, the disciples' attention is grabbed by something about as transcendent as a water bill. Now, I'm sure the temple tax was important, or at least urgent at the time. The words of Jesus in response to that question that Peter didn't even get a chance to ask, these words of Jesus are important, words we need to hear. We need to take to heart what Jesus teaches about the freedom that is ours as children of the King of the universe, and the gracious condescension by which even the Son of God himself humbly submits to puny human regulations. By themselves, the question about the temple tax and Jesus' teaching about freedom and submission are important and helpful, but these helpful and useful teachings aren't the beating heart of the gospel. Why didn't the disciples say, wait, back up. Let's hear more about this death and resurrection business. That sounds really, really important. We can scrape up 4 drachma later. Right now we need to listen and try to get our heads around what Jesus just said about dying and being raised to life again. But the disciples didn't say that. And Jesus didn't lecture Peter for moving on so quickly from literally the most important thing in the whole world to a nothing burger problem of pocket change. In fact, this same Jesus, who has just said he is about to suffer and die as the Savior and be raised as Lord, this same Jesus listens and knows and cares about even the smallest details of the normal, humdrum life the disciples are living. The King of the universe pays attention to Peter's 2-bit tax puzzle. He teaches. In fact, he is himself the profoundest, most ultimate truth. He gives himself as a sacrificial lamb for the sins of the whole world, yours and mine included. He is risen and reigns as Savior and Lord for all eternity. And he cares about your day-to-day slog through bills and tests and grocery lists and meetings and laundry. It is not just that it is a short step from the sublime to the ridiculous, but rather that, to quote Thomas Paine, the sublime and the ridiculous are often so nearly related that it is difficult to class them separately. Or, to put it another way, we don't just step from the sublime to the ridiculous. We walk with the sublime to the ridiculous. Jesus does not require that we spend all day, every day, enraptured in the contemplation of divine reality. But he accompanies us through the distractions of normal existence that fill so much of our days. My yesterday would not have been more holy if I had stayed in chapel and skipped the faculty meeting. The Jesus who fed and nourished me in chapel went with me to the meeting. The sublime accompanies you through all the ridiculousness. Is that not wonderful? I think we all experience from time to time the disappointing downshift from glimpsing the glory and sheer beauty of God's salvation in Christ to the insipid preoccupation with the ordinary that crowds in on us. But the antidote to that disappointment is not to extend chapel time to swallow up the whole day. Sorry, Dr. Person. That's not the answer. It is not to retreat from worldly tedium into a purely spiritual, contemplative life where we can tune out the commonplace chaff, the tedious routine, and the humdrum ambiguity. What you might call the Benedict option. No, the answer to this disconcerting downshift, in the words of John Piper, is to stop being unamazed with the strange glory of ordinary things. The nuts and bolts grind of life goes on, and none of us is exempt from insistent trifles. Much of life is simply ordinary, and we are necessarily occupied with the regular agenda of routine duties. Yet the presence of Jesus, the one who suffered and died and was raised for you, casts a strange and unexpected glory on ordinary things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.